with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After he had fed the people, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In 18th century England, there was a young man by the name of John who had a very rough go at life. He was born to a sailor who has his father, who was never at home, always off on the high seas, never there to help raise young John into adulthood. At the age of 6, his mother, his beloved mother, died of tuberculosis. His father remarried, and John did not like his stepmom very much at all. She was the one that had to raise him in the rest, those furthering years of his adolescence. And so at the age of 11, John decided he felt like his family had betrayed him, had abandoned him. He felt like he didn't have a friend in the world. And so following in his father's footsteps, he decided he was going to be a sailor himself, go on the high seas. At the age of 11, he decided to do that. Very quickly, adjusting to the sailor's life on the high seas, he began to wonder if God even existed. He began to feel in his heart that if there was a God, he did a very terrible job of it. He felt abandoned by God. He felt alone. And that loneliness, that betrayal, followed him through his life. He found that the authority placed upon him, the captains of the ship, he was always insubordinate, always disobeying commands, always breaking the rules. He never really made friends on the ships. He was always despised by his fellow crewmates as being overtly crude and unjust. And so it was no surprise that he could never find a ship to call home. He was constantly bouncing around from ship to ship, boat to boat, port to port, trying to find his place in the world. And this went on for years, seeking, searching, wondering, always running away from his past. Always running away, hoping that one day he would arrive. That one day his troubles would be over and he would be welcomed aboard and he would find a place that he belonged. But it never seemed to happen. First, he started in the merchant class, the Americas, trading goods. Eventually, he tried his hand with the British Navy, which was even worse because they were more authoritarian than the merchant fleet. Finally, he decided that the only place that would accept him, as foul as his language was, as terrible a person as he was, the only place that seemed to have work for him was in the slave trade, being on a slaving ship that would go to the Africas to pick up the slaves and transport them to the Americas. So hated was he by his crewmates and the captain of his ships, even in the slave trade. So miserable of a man was he, so bitter and angry and frustrated, that the captain couldn't stand him anymore. There were voyages where they would lock him up just to keep him away from everybody else. He was hated by all around him, and his loneliness and his hatred for others only grew worse. Until one night, to the homeland of England, they were off the coast of Ireland on the good ship Greyhound, and a storm rose up. Now, John was accustomed to storms. He was a very experienced sailor. He'd been doing this his entire life. But this storm was different. There was a moment where the wind and the rain was so overwhelming, the waves were pouring over the ship, that he ran from the railing so that he could secure himself to the mast. And when he turned around to where he was just a moment before, where another crew member had been standing beside him, he saw as the wave rushed across the deck and took the poor man overboard. And there was no chance to cry out, "Man overboard," or to keep the ship afloat despite the loss of life. And so he ties himself to the mast, and there's a pump there on the deck, and he's pumping away the water from the belly of the ship, trying to salvage the ship, trying to save his own miserable existence. The captain of the ship orders John to take the helm, that they need to steer the ship away from the rocks of the Ireland coast, trying their best to manage the ship and to save what was left of the crew. Now John, in his exhausted state, he stumbles up to the top deck, takes a hold of the helm, and realizes that he no longer has the strength to steer the ship. Everyone on board relies on him to guide them in, and he realizes he can't do it. For 11 hours, he stood at the helm, or leaned against it as best as he could, trying his best, and in that weakness, in facing that storm, knowing that he could very well die with all of these mountains of sin upon his soul, something stirred within him. Something that he had buried deep, deep down in his heart of hearts. And in that moment, he let it go. In that moment, when the wind was at its loudest and nobody could hear him over the crashing thunder in the skies, he yells out to the heavens, "God, have mercy on me. God, I know that I have not followed you in the past. I know that I have not believed in you. I have not trusted in your ways, but I need you now. I cannot steer this ship. I cannot save these men. But you can. You to take the wheel." Suddenly the clouds broke. Shaft of sunlight came pouring down upon the ship. The storm had abated. After that prayer and after that moment, John was changed. He could no longer deny the fact that God existed. And not only that, but he realized for so long he had trusted in his own abilities, his own willpower to get through life, and it was terrible. It was a miserable existence. And so he decided to finally take a leap of faith. He left the sailing world for the rest of his life. The only thing he knew to do was to sail, and he left it behind. He started fresh. He decided he wanted to pursue theology and philosophy studies at the universities. He wanted to teach others what he had learned in that storm. And so he became a preacher. He spent his life trying somehow to convey to others the great mercy that he had received, the great grace of God that changed his life forever. And so he became a songwriter, a hymn writer, writing these beautiful, wonderful pieces that congregations would sing, giving God the praise and glory, thanking him for the wonderful things he had done for them. And one of those songs that we know so well was his best attempt to summarize what happened that night. What happened when he cried out to the heavens, knowing that he could not do it alone, that he absolutely required the grace of God to make it through this life. And he penned these words on that paper, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." So many of us in our lives rely on the man-made ships of our life when the storms come. We rely on our own energies, our own abilities to make it through this life, and we ultimately realize it doesn't work. Those ships that are there tend to sink. They leak. They do not point in the right direction because they are made by man, not God. And yet time and again we turn towards them. Time and again we invest our energies and our interest into these devices that we've created for ourselves. But in today's gospel, we see an alternative. In today's gospel, when Peter looked across the waters and he saw Christ walking across them, he said, "If you are the Christ, if you are the Son of God, ask me to come out onto the waters. Ask me to leave the ships of my life behind, these man-made devices, and trust only in you." And for a moment, Peter did the impossible. For a moment, because he trusted in God, he walked upon the waves. There's a story about Mother Angelica, this great founder of EWTN, the Eternal Word Television Network, that when she was starting this program and she wanted to communicate Christ's message across America through the new invention of television, she decided to ask her sisters there at the convents down in Alabama to pray ardently that they could erect a broadcast station, a broadcast tower, to do such. But she realized they had no money, and that such a tower would cost about $1 million to put up. And the sisters complained, and they were like, "It's not possible, Mother. It's not possible to raise those funds. There's no way we're going to be able to raise $1 million. But she said, "We'll place our trust in the Lord." And so adamant was she in her trust, so sure was she that God would deliver, that before they'd even raised a dime to purchase it, she ordered it. And they said, "It'll be there in 3 months." She's like, "All right, we got 3 months. We can pray, we can work, we can get this done, because I believe God wants this for us." And so they did. They prayed hard, they did fundraisers, they did everything they could to raise the money for this broadcast tower. But it was never enough. And month after month, as that date approached, the sisters began to complain again, and they were like, "Mother, we're not going to make it. We're not going to have the funds. We need to turn back now. We don't want to be able to make this deposit. We're going to bankrupt our convent doing this." But under course, finally the day came, and the semi-truck was pulling in to the convent, the trailer loaded with all the metal needed to erect this broadcast tower. And Mother Angelica, in full faith, walked out to greet them, smile on her face. She had a sister next to her who was just like, "Mother, what are you going to say to them? We don't have the money. We do not have $1 million to pay for this." She said, "We'll trust that the Lord will take care of it." So the man came out of the semi-truck. You know, he's got this clipboard that he needs Mother Angelica to sign, you know, and he's waiting to receive the check for $1 million for this tower. And as she takes the clipboard from the man, this sister comes sprinting out of the convent. And she runs up to Mother Angelica and she says, "Mother, there's a man on the phone that needs to talk to you right now." And Mother Angelica looks at the man from the semi and says, "Please excuse me for a moment." She walks into the convent, she picks up the receiver, And the man on the other line says, "Mother Angelica, years ago, I came to your convent on retreat and it changed my life forever. And since then, I've been waiting for an opportunity to make a donation to your convent. It just never seemed like the right time. And wouldn't you know it, I'm on vacation with my family. I'm on a yacht down in the Caribbean. And this morning I woke up with this crazy notion that I needed to make my donation today. And so would it be okay if I wired you $1 million to you?" And Mother Angelica was like, "Sure, that'd be great." God doesn't want us to rely on the man-made ships of our life. He wants us to walk on the water. In fact, he wants us as if it was like a child playing in a puddle, knowing full well that we were protected by the grace of God, that nothing in this world could tear us apart, that no storm is strong enough to deter us from our goal. And so together, now, right now, let us honor John Newton and his life story. Let us honor Mother Angelica. Let us honor all of those who teach us this great message to place our trust in God's grace as we sing together that wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace.